Hello, friends. Thanks so much for tuning in to The Brave Files. Before I tell you about today's episode, I want to remind you about our annual gratitude episode. It airs every year on Thanksgiving, and this is honestly my favorite episode of the year because it's all about you, our listeners, and gratitude, which, as most of you know, is one of my very favorite topics. But I need your help to make it work. If you haven't already done so, please call 312-646-0205 and share your name, location, and what you're most grateful for from the past year. It's super easy and simple. You just leave a voicemail. I can't wait to hear what you're grateful for and to share this special episode with everyone. So go ahead and pause this podcast and make this phone call right now. Okay, what would happen if you were all of a sudden unable to see? My guest today is Maxwell Ivey, and he's known as the blind blogger. So he faced this reality and still made his life's dreams come true. Max and I talk about keeping focus on what is possible rather than what isn't, finding lessons in each and every experience life presents you, and using flexibility and adaptability as superpowers. Stay tuned because this is a fun one.
Flexible, fearless, humble.
This is Heather Vickery, and you're listening to The Brave Files, stories from people living courageously. When we choose bravely in big and small ways, it powerfully elevates our lives. I hope these stories connect with you and encourage you to embrace bravery in every possible way, day after day. Together, we can build a movement of courageous living that enriches both our lives and our communities. And if you enjoy the show, I ask you to please share it with others. Maybe think of someone who you want to choose bravely right alongside you. Thanks for tuning in. Now here's the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Brave Files. This is your host, Heather Vickery. You know, if there's one thing I've learned in my life, it's that we never really know what we're capable of until we're put to the test. Take this podcast, for example. When I first dreamt of it, I had no idea how to produce a podcast. I didn't even have a microphone until my coach, Aaron, gifted it to me with a note that said, "Start the podcast." The power of having people believe in you is insanely magical. So listeners, if you have the opportunity to believe in the power of this show, you have that opportunity. It's there. It's right there for you. And I need your support. It would mean the world to me if you would head over to patreon.com/bravefiles and become a patron. For as little as $4 a month, you can help us continue to do this incredible work of bravery building. We have some fantastic gifts for our patrons at every single level. So be sure to check it out today. Give what you can to help us keep growing strong. That's patreon.com/bravefiles, patreon.com/bravefiles. Okay, so let's get on with this show. Maybe starting a podcast is the most basic example I could have come up with for doing hard things while scared. We have shared numerous stories of people who have done incredible things, and today's guest has one hell of a story to share. At the age of 12, Maxwell Ivey began to go blind. However, the son of carnival owners wasn't about to let his loss of sight stop him. He continued with his natural gusto for life and even became heavily involved in the Scouts, achieving a rank of Eagle Scout. By the time he graduated from college, he was completely blind. Through all of this, he continued to work for the family business, but since then, Max has built quite an empire for himself. He's now known as the Blind Blogger, and I cannot wait to hear more. Max, welcome to the show.
I'm trying to avoid giggling.
You can giggle. Why do you want to giggle?
because nobody's ever referred to my efforts online as an empire before. And, you know, it was all I could do to hold back a snort on that particular phrase.
It's always fun to see how other people perceive us, isn't it? We never really think we're that big of a deal, but other people can think that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I recently went through the process of getting new artwork for the Blind Blogger, and I sat down with this lady and I told her who I thought I was, and I sent her to my blog, and her name is Sandra Hendry, and she's a wonderful designer, crafter, Etsy businesswoman, but she looked at my blog and talked to some people who knew me, and she came back with a logo that's basically, let's say it's Marvel-esque. It paints me as a blind superhero.
I love it so much. I think that's
crazy. Yes, it is crazy. And everybody loves it, and I'm starting to accept it. But as you say, we never really know ourselves until we see what other people think of us. And that's been one of the real big parts of my journey, is because I started out, as you said, a carnival owner. I helped in the family business. When I saw that that business was going out of business, I started a website where I helped people sell surplus amusement equipment called the Midway Marketplace. I had to learn so much in order to build that website and be online. Trust me, it was crazy, all the things I didn't know that I knew I didn't know.
Well, that's a key to know what you don't know is a really good start.
No. I wasn't even that close. I filed for a domain name without even knowing what HTML or PHP or what a website really was.
Good
but
for you.
It's like, okay. We have to be online at some point, which is what my brother said. He said, Max, if you're going to be a business going forward, you really need to be online. I'm like, what the heck is that? Because at
when
that point,
this?
I was still doing. This was 2006, 2007.
Okay.
It was when, at that time, MySpace was the only real social media option.
Yeah.
And it was not fun, in my opinion, but it was the only option. We're talking pre-Wi-Fi, pre-WordPress, and pre-Facebook. If people want to see what happens when a blind guy develops his own website all by himself, they can go to archive.org and look up the Midway Marketplace from 2008. But I will strongly advise you not to look directly into your monitor. You might want to put on some sunglasses. Well, this is one of my favorite stories. It's one people ask me to tell all the time. When I selected my colors, I went by the color names because I had no way of...
Because you're blind.
And, yeah, because I'm blind. Exactly. Exactly. So I go yellow for the background, blue for the lettering, red for the links, and orange for the previously clicked links. Turns out yellow was an ice creaming yellow, blue was a dark navy, red was a dark brick, orange was a fluorescent orange, like something you see on the side of a dive bar, I've been told. And the also, let's not forget, I couldn't edit the images people were sending me of the equipment for sale, so you might have three or four different size pictures on the same page together. I was told this website was so bright that Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder could have an argument over it. It was bad. But, I got online. I started recruiting clients, and I was able to make sales. I sold several very expensive pieces of equipment with that website before some people came along and helped me make it better. But I sold the equipment because I didn't focus on what I couldn't do. I was like, well, the website's as good as it's going to get for now. This was back when a webmaster would get $1,000 for you before they'd even talk to you.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So hiring somebody was out of the question. Plus, you know, when you're just starting out, you don't really have the confidence that it would take to let somebody else come in and take over your baby, let's say.
So absolutely.
Even if I'd have had the money, I probably wouldn't have been interested in doing it. So, you know, I built the website and people started talking about me online. They're like, Max, you really inspire us. When we see what you're doing, we realize that, you know, we really don't have an excuse. And, you know, some people said, if Max can do it, then what's my excuse? Which is how I found my tagline. Being called the blind blogger is something else people in social media came up with. But basically, I was just showing up and doing the next thing I could do as I was able to do them. And people were inspired by it. And I finally, my really good friend, Adrienne Smith, who I refer to as my blogging mama, she said, Max, here's the point that you're not getting. There are so many people in the world who have absolutely no excuse and don't show up. And you're somebody who has an obvious excuse, but you don't use it. And that's what makes you inspirational. And so I finally understood it, accepted my role, started the second website, theblindblogger.net. And, you know, I've written 3 books. I'm still working on my 4th book. Who knew the 4th one would be the hard one?
I want to dig in on that. I want to talk a little bit about the book writing process for you, but let's just slow down for 1 second and go back.
Sure.
What was it like to be a 12-year-old boy and discover that you were going to lose your sight?
Well, I had had some inkling of it before then, but what happened was, is I grew up in a family of people who who did things. I spent a lot of time with my grandmother when my family would travel with the carnival. In those days, the carnival only worked about 8 or 9 months out of the year. So during the school year, you know, usually a relative would put you in school and look after you. So I spent a lot of time with her. And she was one of those people that if you told her you were bored, she would find something for you to do. If you were depressed, she would, you know, she would probably feed you. But, you know, it's not a family that tolerated people, you know, just not doing anything. So that helped a lot. I had at least my father and one of my brothers, and sometimes both of them, you know, were you can do anything you want to type of people. And then I was in a good school in what I've since learned was a pretty affluent neighborhood, even if we weren't, you know, part of the families that had mm-hmm. money. And, you know, the truth of the matter is in this country, the economic advantage of the place where your school is can have a lot of impact on your potential. Yes. So I was in a good school. They put me with instructors on orientation and mobility, and they made it fun. It was like, yeah, Max, you're going to get out of class for half the day. We're going to teach you to cross streets or ride the buses, or we're going to take you to the airport and have you figure out how to navigate the flight terminal. Or go downtown, we're going to, you know, teach you how to navigate one of these big super malls. So they Very made that cool. part of it fun. Yeah. Yeah. The, you know, of course, I had RP, so I was losing night vision, peripheral vision, and eventually over the course of time, I went from reading regular text to large print books to using a closed circuit monitor, which enlarges the text and puts it up on a screen. And then eventually to audio and to Braille.
Okay. How easy or not easy was it for you to learn to do all of these things in a completely different manner as your sight got worse and worse?
You know, I'm not exactly sure if I was adaptable before I started losing my vision or if it's something I learned as a course of it, because, you know, let's say from the time I was 10 or 11 till the time I graduated from college, so let's say early 20s, my vision hadn't really been constant for much of a period of time. So I was constantly having to adjust to new ways to do things. And yeah. So that may have made it easier for me to accept and live with, because you're just never able to go, okay, here's where I'm at and here's where I'm going to be from now on.
And what a gift, though. What a silver lining gift of this is learning adaptability. Do you apply that adaptability to other elements of your life?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, the way I've managed to get this far and to, you know, accomplish the different things that I've done is that I am, you know, we all have those little quirks or pet peeves but for the most part, I'm very, very flexible and adaptable to the surroundings, to the situation, to, you know, the goal I'm trying to accomplish versus the assets that I have to accomplish it, you know? So
yeah,
I think that it has really helped me. And I think one of the things that really helps me with is problem solving, because having learned to be adaptable and flexible, I don't get so attached to my own ideas as I think a lot of people do.
I have to tell you, I think that is such a phenomenal skill that most of us don't have, right? We like our ideas. We're really committed to them. And I love that about you, that you can go, oh, okay, well, that idea sucks. Let's just try a different one, right? I think it's really great. So you worked in your family business until your father passed away. How did his loss affect you? And then not having that business to work in, what was that like?
I think it affected me twice. First, it was losing the guy I had spent the better part of 15 years going up and down the road together. We probably covered over 1,000,000 miles, if not more, in raggedy old pickup trucks from Houston, Texas, to out east as far as Tennessee and South Carolina, and Midwest as far as Missouri, always trying to find that next year that was better than the last year as far as bookings. And, you know, just basically us against the world, losing your best friend, that was very bad.
Yeah. I'm sorry for your loss, by the way.
Yeah, it was. But then about 2 or 3 years later, we're still trying to keep the carnival going. And I was outvoted on this. And this is what happens when you're in a partnership or a family and you have different views about what you're, where you're going. My view was, even without him, we still had opportunities to grow the business. The rest of them are like, no, let's try to make this easier on us. You know, make the income more reliable. Let somebody else do all the hard work for a change.
So I mean, I can feel that. I can feel it.
Yeah. Well, we connected up with my uncle's carnival. And as part of this story, you have to know that over the years, we had competed bitterly. I can't emphasize that word enough with my uncle and his family.
Interesting.
They always thought that they were better than us, that they deserved the bookings we had, and that we had no business being in the business, much less having contracts that they should have gotten.
That's rough.
What they didn't realize is that, oh yeah, what they didn't realize is we got those contracts because me and my dad were nicer people than they were. Mm-hmm. We had a reputation of taking care of problems at events. And people knew that even if we didn't own the rides, we could find the rides to make sure they had a good carnival. But over the years, it was our reputation that allowed us to have contracts that even I'll admit, we had no right booking those contracts. I mean, we had seven rides most of the time. We would end up with events that wanted us to manage the carnival part of their event where we had 20 or 25 or more rides.
And, but you got the job done.
That's why you got hired.
And you were nice about it.
Yes. We were very nice about it. We were very likable people. But we competed very bitterly with these people. And so when the rest of the family decided we're going to hook up with them and go out of business, I'm like, it's like, okay, I know we had to lose, but did we have to lose to them?
I hear you.
You know, could we have picked somebody else's, you know, it's just, and so I kind of went into a depression. Plus, when we joined up with him, my kids' games suffered financially. And I will admit this, I personally blame my cousin for forcing me out of the carnival business. But I will also thank him if he ever lets me, because he's not the kind of person that's willing to let me thank him. But I will thank him if he ever lets me, because if he hadn't forced me off of that midway, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. So
there you go.
I'm a much happier, healthier person. I'm doing something that's based on what I want to do. It's building something of my own, and who knows what's going to happen next. I don't have to worry about the weather forecasts like I used to. You know,
I think that life has a really interesting way of doing that for us. Things do tend to happen for a reason. It sounds really trite and contrived, but the universe takes us where we are supposed to go, even if it feels bad when we're in the middle of going.
Even if it feels yucky, even if it makes you cry and depressed and eat, it's what's
I like that, and eat. That's me.
Yes, and eat. And, well, you know, my dad used to say the Ivies were... We don't drink, do drugs, or chase wild women, but we will eat.
You got to take care of those feelings somehow.
Yes. But, you know, the real depression because of having to be involved in a business with people I didn't like and then going completely out of it. But I came up with this expression. You know how there's a saying, it's supposed to be from the Bible, but I'm not sure, that if God closes a door, he'll open another one for you.
Yeah, I don't know if it's from the Bible either, but I've definitely heard that quote.
Right. Well, I've come to the conclusion that if you stand there and try to hold that door open, eventually God will just burn the house down around you and force you on down the road.
Yeah. I feel you on that. I really do. This concept that if you continue to fight the direction that the universe wants you to go, that it's just going to all fall apart.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, I am so much better off since admitting that. And every so often a host will ask me, is there anything you regret or would have changed? And I'm like, I can honestly admit now that I would be so much farther along on my journey if I had just quit 5 years sooner.
Yeah. Well, hindsight.
Yeah.
It's helpful. I often say though, very often, you know, and my life has been really interesting and sort of ups and downs and a lot of things people would anticipate that I would want to change, but I would not go back and change anything because I would not be who I am at this moment and where I am at this moment if anything had been differently on the path. So
yeah, I have a great quote for you. It's from Tallulah Bankhead, the actress from the 30s or 40s. And she was once asked if she would change anything. And she said, if I had to do it all over again, I'd make all the mistakes I made just sooner.
Yeah, I hear you. I like that. So tell us about your blog and your books. And I'd love to know what the writing process is like for you.
Okay. Well, the blog is theblindblogger.net. And basically, I share experiences that have happened to me or things that I've seen happen to other people, and do my best to find a lesson from those experiences and share it with other people.
Very cool.
Quite often the experiences are at least partly negative. You know, I'm not one to hide the truth from people, and I've actually been told multiple times that I'm too honest or too authentic online, but it is my style. It's the only way I know how to write. I generally write from a conversational approach as if I'm writing a letter to somebody who knows me well or somebody who I at least know well enough that they're going to appreciate that way that I write. And
So
that's the same way that I've written all three of my books, is very conversational style. My editor sometimes gets after me about my complicated long sentence structures, but I think the books are relatively readable.
Well, tell us, I'm sure they're very readable. Tell us the titles and topics of your book.
There's Leading You Out of the Darkness into the Light, A Blind Man's Inspirational Guide to Success, which is about my journey from failed carnival owner to a broker, and has 11 exercises that people can do along with my email address, because I encourage them to report on their progress. I know that when you start a new goal, there's often not a lot of people who are on your side. And so I want them to have at least one friendly person they can share what they're up to with. And the second book is It's Not the Cookie, It's the Bag. And it's about how I prepared for having gastric surgery, then had the surgery, and how my life has had to been adjusted since then, the changes I've had to make, and some of the lessons that I hope will help other people who are trying to get healthy and stay that way. And then the third book is The Blind Blogger's New York City Adventures, How You Can Make Your Dreams Come True, which is about when I competed for and won one of the Amtrak Writers in Residency Awards. And took
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's a very prestigious thing. They pick 24 people out of thousands that apply for it each year. And they give you a free train trip anywhere in the U.S. to get away from your usual life and get the writing juices flowing. So I took my trip to New York City during the Christmas and New Year's holidays, and that's what the book is about. It's about how I went the competing for it, winning it, preparing to go on the trip, what happened while I was gone, and some of the techniques that allowed me to do something that crazy and come home safely again. It talks about, where did the money come from? How did I approach the fear?
Love it.
One of the most important parts of it to me was about how when I was given the option of where to go, for one of the few times in my life, I selected something based on what my heart wanted as opposed to what I should do.
Oh, tell me more about that.
I live in Houston, so you're given the option of going anywhere in North America. And in the past, I would have probably said, okay, where can I go that I know somebody, that I have family? Or where would people think I should go? Where would it make other people comfortable knowing that I'm going to be leaving Houston for a while? And so I could have went to San Diego, where I have a niece and her family. I could have went to South Carolina or Florida, where I also have family. But instead, I was like, for one of the few times in your life, Max, look at this map or listen to it on your screen reader. Where do you want to go? And one of the few places I'd never been to before was New York City. And I felt like if I'm going to go there during the holidays, I'm going to go when New York is supposed to be at its best. And unfortunately, there was some added fear that wasn't figured into the equation. This was in 2016. And as I was preparing to leave, we had just elected a new president, and there was quite a bit of turmoil in the New York City area. And for a little while, I actually thought about not going.
New York City's crazy at Christmas.
Yeah, well, it was even crazier in 2016 when they brought in extra dump trucks and barriers and stuff because they were afraid the protests were going to lead to violence.
Yeah. Wow. So you did this anyway. You navigated this
anyway. Yeah, I did it anyway. Yeah, I did it anyway.
And what did you learn from that?
I learned that most everybody around me is more scared of it than I am. And I think that's because, to me, I wasn't really thinking about this whole big, long trip there and back. To me, I was like, I was always thinking about what's going to happen in the next week or month as part of this process. And for some reason, New York City just never really came into my mind as being as scary. Yeah, it was for a little bit because of the protests. But you know, like I told a friend of mine, unless the government comes out and says, anybody not here, don't come, you know, I was going to go. And I wish I could tell people why I wasn't more scared. I think the simplest reason is that I was so focused on doing the next thing, and the next thing after that I just really didn't have the time to get scared.
Yeah. You know, I like that. I think it's a really great takeaway for all of our listeners. If you just stay focused on what's in front of you and the task that is to get done, there isn't so much time to be afraid and get in your own head. I think that's really, really true. So I would love to know, what tools and resources do you use to do things that those of us with sight take for granted? How do you do something like write a book?
Well,
or blog on a regular basis.
Well, they're both about the same for me. You know, thankfully, being blind, I started using a typewriter long before most people did. One of the reasons why I still write long emails and text messages and stuff is because I started on a typewriter and then moved on to other devices eventually. Okay. So to me, writing a blog post or writing a book chapter is just like writing anything else. You sit down at the keyboard and you type it out. While you're typing, you've got a screen reader that's speaking everything you're typing.
And so you actually type it and then you hear what you've typed versus like speaking it and having it transcribed.
Right. This is what I'm comfortable with. And yeah, I know on a show about bravery, I should say I'm going to face my fear and stretch my comfort zone and all that good crap about deciding to dictate my work, but it just ain't happening.
You know what, though? I think it's brave to know what really works well for you. You're producing, you're successful, you're helping people. I don't know that there's a lot of benefit in pushing yourself to learn a new system if this system's working really well. Now, if you discovered this system's like slowing you down and it's not great, well, then maybe I would push you on that, but yeah. I don't do that. So what's the most difficult thing? What's been the biggest struggle in your life going into adulthood for you?
Biggest struggle.
Other than being blind, which is probably not something you would have picked for yourself.
Yeah. You know, if we're talking about just in my day-to-day life, I would say the one thing that causes me the most aggravation and eats away the most time would be social media.
Oh, yeah.
Especially
welcome because, to the club.
Yeah, I used to think it was just us blind folks, but I've since realized everybody hates it. Nobody likes it except for those people who are getting paid to do it. They enjoy it, I think.
I don't know.
I'm going to ask one of them someday and find out for sure.
Listeners, if you get paid to do social media, let us know if you love it or if it's it's a love-hate relationship, which is my guess.
Yes. Yes, okay. But the real problem with social media and with certain websites is that the process for doing it is not stable. You know, you're at the mercy of the website designers, and so every time they change the format of a page, I have to change how I access that page, how I find the information on it that I want to find, or how I navigate to the links or buttons. And of course, with Facebook, every so often, they will not only change the design, but they will change the way buttons function.
Right.
So for a few months last year, I couldn't add videos or photos to anything because I couldn't figure the darn thing out as to how to get through from point A to point D in order to get that to happen. So, you know, hopefully you won't have to edit this out, but if you do, you won't hurt my feelings. I've said on many occasions, if I ever meet Zuck in the street, I'm going to knock him on his butt.
I won't edit that out.
I'm going to punch him in the nose, assuming I can find it.
I agree. And I don't have the same challenges as you. We all have different challenges, right? But I wish that they would all stop changing all the time. And it's not always for the better. If they can really improve things, that's one thing. But it seems like they're kind of messing with us most of the time.
Most of the time, it's people trying to justify a paycheck because they enjoy where they're working. They enjoy paying their bills. And they want people who have hired them to believe they're worth writing that next month's rent check. You know, that's so I have an expression. I want to pass a new law that basically says that if a webmaster updates a website just to justify his paycheck, he has to do time.
Well, it's a little extreme, but I feel you. Yeah, I feel what you're trying to say there. So yeah. Tell us, though, what has been the most pleasant surprise? You know, you've accomplished a lot of things, maybe a lot more things than an average person has. I don't know very many people who've written 4 books. What's been like just a really beautiful surprise in the process?
I would say the number of helpful, supportive, amazing people that I have met who have decided to be part of my journey and part of the story along the way, and who I often mention one or more in interviews because I want to make sure I show proper gratitude for all the help that I've gotten. But I would say it's the amount of people out there, both online and in person. And this isn't just because I'm blind. I've seen this with other people who are ready and willing and open to helping other people along their journeys, to teaching them things that they need to know. And in many cases, waiting for opportunities to help even more people. And they would do that if more people had the courage to ask for help or ask for opportunity. So I would say the amount of help I've received, the great people that I've met, and a lot of people over the years have provided services either for free or for less than what they would usually charge, or, you know, in exchange for me, you know, telling people how good a work they did. So there are a lot of them out there. I tell people all the time, if more people knew how supportive the blogging and podcasting worlds were, everybody would be online with a podcast or a blog or a Facebook page or something.
Yeah, I agree with you. I in general, I believe that people, when they recognize other people are overall nice, that they want to help you, they want to support you, that you're not in it alone, is a game changer across the board.
Yeah. And I wish more website people, more podcast hosts would go out of their way to let people know that they aren't doing this by themselves, so that more people aren't scared to think, I can't do this. There's no way I can do all that stuff by myself.
Yeah. I mean, gosh, that's why we started a Patreon page, because it costs money. I love you, Andrew, but he costs money. Kim, you're listening, my executive assistant. She's amazing, but she costs money. We all have to make a living. There's production costs across the board, plus the time and all of that. So I can't do it without the listener support, not just the team of people that help me produce the show week after week and the awesome guests that come on. But if I don't have the listener financial support, we just can't do something like this. So nobody ever really does it alone. I appreciate that you brought that up. There's a team of people that make things work. And if there's not a team of people that make things work, if you invited other people in, you would be able to do it better.
Faster.
Yeah.
More efficiently.
Yeah.
Probably even, you know, even more, you know, if you allowed some other people to do some of these things that you're doing for yourself, you would probably also do what you're already doing with more joy.
Yes. I love that you said that. One of my questions that I ask in every episode is, how do you celebrate success and how do you practice gratitude? And I love that you just said you could do it with more joy, because that ties in so beautifully to celebration and gratitude. So I'll go ahead and ask you, how do you practice gratitude and how do you celebrate those things that feel good and successful to you?
Well, with gratitude, and I actually talked about gratitude in my first book, Leading You Out of the Darkness into the Light, because I feel it's very important as well. It depends on what I'm being thankful for. Sometimes it's a really good cup of coffee. Sometimes it's a shower. Sometimes it's spending an hour reading a really good book or listening to some old-time radio shows. Sometimes it's a new shirt. You know, it just depends on what am I thankful for. And the other thing is, a lot of times it's posting on social media and saying, hey, something great just happened. Would you please help me celebrate this moment, this accomplishment? Yeah. And I do that for other people as well. When people in my own community have something great happen, I will, you know, put it out there and go, hey, let's all help this person, this fellow dreamer, celebrate what they were just able to do. Because as I mentioned earlier, a lot of times when you take on a big goal, when you show your bravery, the people around you aren't so sure about what you're doing.
I really, really love that you said that. I couldn't possibly agree with you more. When you bring other people into your celebration and your gratitude and your joy, it's contagious. You sort of let off this domino effect of beautiful energy that connects everybody together. It's just life is so much more fun when you bring people in.
Yep. I recently gave a talk at PodFest, and I didn't have a great title for it. After it was over with, a guy come up to me, Alex Sanfilippo, he said, you just gave an amazing talk about the value of interdependence over independence.
Oh my gosh, great topic. Are you going to be at Podcast Movement?
No, I am not. We talked about sometimes being brave or too brave or not brave enough before the show started. Last year, I booked several speaking engagements in a row, and I was very happy and very proud and was feeling really good. Well, after the first one, I got a little sick and decided to just push through and go to the next event. And I got a lot sick. I ended up sick and broke in New York City and about to be homeless. And thank God, two of the people I'm real friends with on social media, one of them reached out and provided me with a motel room for the night. The other one sent me the money for a train ticket back home to Houston, Texas. So after that, I was like, you know, Max, maybe next time you should, you know, be a little farther away from the edge.
I hear you.
So for the last, I promised myself for at least the next year, I would not take a speaking event or pitch a speaking conference or try to attend a conference that wasn't one of two things, either within, say, 75 miles of my house, or they would have to offer me a fee or provide my expenses.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm not going to podcast.
All right.
I would love to go. Even if 2 years ago I was on this, 2 years ago I was in their, what do they call it, PMX, where you go and do the pre-show thing.
Yeah. Now,
I was booked into that and couldn't figure out how the heck to get me from Houston to San Diego. And I was like, I would love to be there. And if somebody wants to sponsor the Blind Blogger, somebody has a house in the Orlando area that doesn't mind somebody sleeping on their couch in August, I'm up for it.
All right. I feel you. If anybody's out there, reach out, let Max know. But what I love about everything you just said is you identified a pain point, something that did not feel good to you, and you created really strong boundaries around it, and you're implementing them. And boundaries are such a gift. They're a gift to us. They're a gift to everybody else. And I love that you've established them and that you communicate them clearly. I think it's great. So
right.
Max,
I think it's also, I hate to interrupt you, but I think it's also important for more people to share when things don't go so great, because we have this real glossy A-side lifestyle going on social media these days, where all people ever read about is the great stuff that happened. And so I feel it's important to share not only the boundaries, as you mentioned, but also the reasons behind them.
Yeah. Nope. That authentic, vulnerable approach is making a comeback, because it's such a ridiculous standard. We all look at the perfection that people show us, which we know isn't true, but you see it and you internalize it, and it's such BS, right? So I love it. You know, one of the ways I challenge myself with that, I still don't love being on video. Most of you know that, but I'm really doing it a lot more. And I used to think I needed to have, you know, full hair and makeup done before I would go on video. And now if something moves me and I want to share with y'all, I just do it because this is me and life is real, and take it or leave it, right? So as we come to the close of the show, I think you and I could talk for a long time. If you do get a sponsor and you show up at Podcast Movement, then let's get together and have
we'll sit down with a microphone and record about 6 hours.
And
we'll have one of those video courses that people can buy on late night TV.
I can see it happening, Max. But one of the things that is important to me is I love to talk to each guest about what their favorite charitable organization is to support, because coming together as a community, rising up as a community and supporting each other, to me, is the key to us all growing and living in harmony. So what's your favorite charitable organization to support?
Well, I'm going to have to go obvious here. I really believe in the Foundation Fighting Blindness. They're a national organization that raises money to support research all around the world on preventing blindness, as well as treating and helping people to recover who have already lost their vision.
Yeah, a great organization. So listeners, if you're not familiar with them, get to know them. I ask you this every week. I mean it. We're going to have this. This will be the charity of the week for us starting on Monday. So that's pretty exciting. We'll give them a little love. If you have money to give, time, energy, or simply share it with somebody who might find it valuable, please go out and do that. So I could be opening up a rabbit hole here, Max, but can you share your three words with us one last time?
Sure. Let's see. Fearless, flexible, and humble.
All right. So anybody who listens to this show on a regular basis knows that I do not like the word fearless. And I have to tell you, it took a lot in me to let Max use that word. I was almost going to be like, Max, you can't use that word. But I wanted to have this conversation. You all know that I built my life and my business around the idea that brave is greater than fearless. So tell me why you picked the word fearless.
I hadn't really come up with my three words before I sat down to talk to you.
And well,
I
there's your honesty right there.
And frankly, it's a word that people use about me that I still don't 100% of the time get about me, which is why I use it, because it's one of those words like brave, courageous, trailblazer, those kinds of words people use about me even now, even 11 years later. People use those words and I'm like, are you talking about me?
So do you actually feel fearless?
You know, to me, most of the time I don't feel fearless because I don't feel the fear to start with. I mean, I mentioned this before we started. I have a phrase that I'm known for. I tell people I'm not smart enough to be scared. And there are very few things that I've done in the last few years that just totally flat out scared me. The first time it happened, there's been, I think three times in the last 5 years since I started working towards being the blind blogger. It's been like three times. The first one, I was at a conference I had spoken at. Speaking at the conference didn't make me nervous. But after it's over with, I'm hanging around with the other speakers and everybody's taking selfies. They're going, hey, I'm known for singing. I want to know can I sing a little something in front of the banner here and y'all get it on video for me? My knees shook. The guys standing next to me are having to help hold me up. It was a totally spiritual experience, if there is really such a thing anymore in this crazy world. And I was like, it's just me. It's a bunch of other speakers. The conference is over. Everybody's going home. Why am I nervous now? So I don't really get scared a lot. So I'm not exactly sure about this word fearless, but a lot of people use it about me. And it's one of those words I really don't get. So that's why I included it.
Well, I appreciate that. It was good to have a conversation about it. I definitely see humble. You seem very humble and honest. And flexibility, we spend a lot of time on. I think that flexibility is key for everybody. It's just really important thing to do. Yeah. Max, you have come so far. You've overcome so many odds. And you seem like such a happy, generous soul. I want to thank you for being here and sharing your incredible story with us.
Well, I want to thank you for having me, for continuing to keep after this until we were finally able to connect and record this, and also for all the time and money and passion you spend in putting on a great show. And I really do am thankful that you've had me on the show. And hopefully we can sit down together either over the internet or in person and have that conversation you mentioned.
I would like that very much. Listeners, you know, this is just a really great reminder that if you take things slow and intentionally, if you're honest and authentic, and if you're flexible, you can really do anything that you want. Know why you're doing something and what the result is that you want from doing it. There's nothing you can't accomplish if you approach it in this manner. You know, I'm always here to support you I want to be there for you. So if you've ever wanted to chat with me, this is a great time to do so. Visit my website, vickeryandco.com, and schedule a virtual coffee date with me. I want to hear what you're up to. I'm here to help you take things to the next level. No strings attached. I love, love, love sitting with you week after week. Thank you for being here. Please go become a patron and subscribe, rate, and review. Share the show with people that you love, because we are all about spreading inspiration and magic and bravery all day long. So cheers to a delightful weekend. This is Heather Vickery reminding you today and every single day to choose bravely. Today's show was brought to you by Audible. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/thebravefiles and browse their unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a title of your choice for free and start listening. It's that simple. Just head to audibletrial.com/thebravefiles. You've been listening to The Brave Files, stories from people living courageously. To learn more about the show, find our show notes, or get some great bonus content, visit thebravefilespodcast.com. And we'd love to know what you think. You can give us a call at 312-646-0205. Let us know your thoughts on the episode, the show in general, or maybe share with us how you're out choosing bravely. This episode is brought to you by Vickery & Co. Success Coaching, coaching that helps you maintain a life well-lived and a business well-run. Learn more at vickeryandco.com. Our music is produced by Matt Lewis. Follow him on Instagram at Matt M Music, or visit his website, theunionband.com. We couldn't do any of this without our extraordinary audio engineer, Andrew Olson. Learn more about him and check out his work at findandrewolson.com. And special thanks to our associate producer, Kim Statler. I'm your host and executive producer, Heather Vickery. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week.